Some are going through your crucibles, whether it be the harsh economic crisis, or it may be sickness, or illness, or pain, or whatever the issue may be, and you want in a special way to be represented before the Lord. If you are so inclined, I invite you to come. Otherwise, you may stay just where you are. From the press of the world all around, to your throne where grace doth abound, may our eyes be transformed by your love, may our souls be refreshed from above. At this moment, your people everywhere, join us now as we come to you in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, the great and awesome God who inhabits eternity, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, even our creator, our sustainer, and our Lord. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who sits at your right hand making intercession for us, through whom we are able to come before you this morning to offer you highest praises and adoration, because there is none like you who can hear and answer our prayers. We come this morning in faith, knowing that when we pray, we will get results. We come, Lord, confessing our sins because we are unworthy. We have strayed from the straight and narrow way. But our God is a merciful God and forgiving. And we ask that every sin this morning you will take away from us and give us hearts that will be surrendered to you. Cleanse us from every form of unrighteousness and make our prayers be heard and acceptable unto you. O Lord, we present before you your people who are called by your name. Everyone who is here this morning, whether they are standing before me or they are in the congregation, seated or standing, you know every need. We ask, O God, that you will come down this morning and minister to our hearts. First, that you will pour your Holy Spirit in our hearts to melt every stony heart. Lord, there are so many and varied needs here. Some are mourning because of the loss of loved ones. Whether it be a year or more or recently, we commend them in your care, knowing that you did lose your own son and all of heaven grieved. Lord, we pray that you will bless these mourning hearts. We remember those who are going through their crucibles in one form or another. Some, Lord, have lost their jobs. Some, for a long time, have never been employed and are living at your mercy. We ask that you will continue to be merciful and to provide for every need. Lord, there are many who are suffering pain. Lord, we know that Jesus went through pain for us and has taken the sting from pain that we can endure. Lord, we pray that you will relieve them. There are those who are under the very immediate attack of the enemy. And Lord, their hearts are burdened. We pray that you will relieve them. that you will beat back the forces of darkness and remove Satan out of their lives and give them the victory. And there are so many other needs, Lord, with time would fail to mention, but we sum them up and put them before you, who alone knows the heart's need. Lord, we ask and claim, we believe also that you have heard. We present to you now the one who will deliver the message to us today, a young man whom you have used before and who is walking close with you, one of your prophets, one of your end time prophets. Lord, we ask that you use him to listen, touch his brain and speak through him, and open every heart, every ear that we may hear, and give us willing hearts that we may do what you say through him today. Lord, we know that you have heard our prayer, and you have taken every situation of concern into the direction and answer it as a factor that for we speak here, and while we are yet speaking, you answer that you have done so this morning. Take the praises, take the glory to be to you. Now we come to ourselves, Lord, into your loving hands, and say thank you for us far more than we can ever hope to ask or think, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is now that time in our worship when we return our tithes and give our offerings to the Lord. And while they, just before the deacons, collect our tithes and offerings, I'm going to kindly invite us to assume an attitude of prayer while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and the ability to earn and the privilege to return. We pray, Lord, that you may strengthen our hearts and continue to provide for us despite the uncertainty that we face and despite this time of redundancy. And as we give back to you a portion or a fraction of the income you have blessed us with, help us to also give our hearts completely. In Jesus' name, amen. God has specified tithes and offerings as the measure of our obligation. Every acknowledgement of our obligation to God will strengthen the sense of obligation, and he desires us to give regularly and systematically. Let each regularly examine his income, which is all a blessing from God, and set apart the tithe as a separate fund to be sacredly the Lord's. After the tithe is set apart, let gifts and offerings be apportioned as God hath prospered us. The gifts are to be made in consideration of the great goodness of God to us. gratitude deepens as we give it expression, and the joy it brings is life to soul and body. Thus, our practice will be a weekly sermon declaring that God is the possessor of all our property and that he has made us stewards to use it to his glory. Not only the rich, but the poor are addressed. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Kindly stand.
We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee.
Can I remain standing for the scripture reading?
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke 19, verses 28 through to 37, and I will be reading in your hearing. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which, at your entering, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Here ended the reading of God's holy word.
At this time, we will invite those persons who are here to dedicate their children to come forward, as we also invite all elders present to join us on the platform. Not here.
Another one is coming soon, so just be patient. I want to invite us to stand and sing first and last stanzas of number 653, Lead Them, My God, to Thee.
Lead them, my God, to Thee, lead them to Thee. These children dear of mine, Thou gavest me. Oh, by the love divine, lead them, my God, to Thee, lead them, my God, to Thee, lead them to Thee.
Yea, though my faith be dim,
yea, though my faith be dim, I would believe that Thou this precious gift wilt now receive. Oh, take their young hearts now. To Thee.
This morning we are blessed to have three precious gifts to present to the Lord, and we congratulate the parents for this step. Cheyenne Hannon Chaplin, Nor Hunter, Ireland, two, yes. The flow of youth grows more beautiful when it bends towards the Son of Righteousness. The best way to start is to give God first place. The text for meditation is Matthew chapter 19. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Three important things about children. They are naturally trusting, they are confident, and they practice instant forgiveness. As grown-ups, we should not be childish, but we should be childlike. The best way to start is to give them the direction to have the fear of God in their lives. Children tend to follow not just our advice, but our footsteps. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Values are not caught, they are taught. The best place for them to learn is at the foot of Jesus. We just want to encourage the parents to give them a good start and the type of confidence that will help them to feel good about themselves and to appreciate themselves as human beings, that they are God's gift and they came here for a purpose. I'm going to ask the elders to hold them as we pray. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two precious gifts that are before you this morning. Bless the wombs that brought them forth and the precious breasts that have given them suck. We pray, O God, that they will grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant them victory and freedom from childhood illnesses and diseases. We pray, O God, that you'll help them to grow in an environment that will be conducive to righteousness. We pray that you'll help them to develop symmetrical, well-balanced character. We pray, O God, that the parents will have the type of patience to be with them and to nurture them, to comfort them, and to help them to grow in the direction that they ought to go. We pray that you'll help them to learn manners and good discipline. We pray, O God, that the fear of God will be before their eyes. When they grow up and go to school, we pray, O God, that you'll activate their brain cells. Help them that they will be able to absorb training and development. Grant them sound mentality to cope with the academic demand of this enlightened age. Help them to go through, and should they reach the stage where they can graduate, help them, Father, to be useful and productive members of society. Keep them free from sexual predators and child molesters. Keep them from negative influence from drugs and other harmful effects. We pray, O God, that they will be like the lily. They will grow pure and white, even in the midst of corrupt environment. Help them to be a witness for you. And Father, we pray that they will be a blessing to their parents, and ultimately they'll be gems in the crown of your rejoicing. Build the parents, grant them the courage to stand for the right even though the heavens fall. Help that they'll be supportive of each other. We pray, O God, that the fathers of the children will recognize the tremendous responsibility that devolves upon them. Help them to give the homes from which they are coming a clear sense of direction. Help them to remain focused. Help them not to be ashamed to call upon the name of the Lord. May the houses from which they come be one where morning and evening worship is practiced and where the name of the Lord is revered. Bless them abundantly and help that they'll be satisfied and be ready to meet you in peace when you come. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
We have come to that special part of our program for service where the Lord is lifted up in the spoken word. This morning, He has chosen and anointed a special young man to deliver His word to His people. Many of us who are familiar with this person, we often beam with pride when we hear his name mentioned, because for the mothers, it's a son that you would be proud of, and for the fathers, the same. In a time and age when young people are often associated with everything bad and nothing good, we have a young man who has walked in the path that the Lord has laid before him. And as such, we give God thanks for that. He has dedicated his life to the service of God and to the serving of his people. He is joined in his ministry by his lovely wife, Petrian, who I'll just ask to give you a wave for those persons who do not know her. I speak of no other than Brother Lane Robinson. I am sure that after he has delivered the words, you will concur with me, for those of you who have never heard him, that the Lord has indeed blessed his talents and he has been using them to good effect. He communicates well not only with adults, but if you hear him with the young ones, you would be surprised. Before he speaks to us, however, the youth choir will prepare our hearts with a song of meditation, and I'll ask you to pray for him, that the Lord will not only use him today, but that he will continue to use him for the rest of his life.
No one else deserves the praise but Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I know it was very cloudy, but thank God the sun just came out. As we were coming, we were saying to ourselves, this weather is not the weather we came here to seek. This weather is the weather we left behind us. But I'm so happy that the sun is out. And so happy Sabbath, everyone. With a song that just the youth choir just did, and with all that has happened before, with the blessing of the babies, and with the very special prayer, my elder Brown, my brother Brown, I think the Lord is with us today. And I hope that by the end of this service, that the blessings that we all came to receive, we will get. It is a new year, and at the beginning of the year, I'm told that this is the time when most persons who smoke and who want to quit, this is the time of year that they quit. You see, at this time of year, many make resolutions or some just make promises. But often it is like that our promises and our resolutions seem to be just like ropes of sand. It's as if we can't control our own thoughts, our own impulses, or even our affections. And it has led many of us to say to ourselves, well, I'm just not going to make any resolutions or any promises anymore. Because I've been so disappointed with myself in the past, I'm not even going to begin. The knowledge of your broken promises or your forfeited pledges makes our confidence so weak and our sincerity so poor that we begin to feel that we cannot do it. But this morning, I do not want you to despair. What we need to understand today is the true nature of the force of the will. What we need to understand today is the true force of the will that we have. The will is the governing power in human beings, in man. It is the power of decision. We call it choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. And so this morning, the message is about making that right action with the choice that you have. The short message this morning is entitled, The Sermon of the Donkey that Jesus Loosed. Probably the best way to put it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity once more to open your words and to share it. I pray now that as we open and share the word together, that your Holy Spirit would attend unto our words, and that you'll open up our hearts. As always, I ask that you'll allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You're always my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This donkey in this passage that we read for our scripture reading is perhaps not the most popular creature in scriptures. There are other donkeys that are much more popular. The talking donkey of Numbers chapter 22, where God opened up the mouth of this animal so he could speak to the prophet to turn him, is probably a much more popular creature. And there are others that may have been recorded in scripture. The one that took Jesus, Christ's mother, Mary and Joseph, down when they were about to have the baby in Bethlehem is another. There are lots of creatures, but I believe God in his wisdom has placed object lessons in his word for us. And today's message will focus on an object lesson of this creature that God loosed. And we will see perhaps, as I have found in this passage, a lesson to help us in this new year. If you open up the scripture as was read very well this morning, you will find that this passage in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28 to 37 is special because it is recorded in every single one of the synoptic gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and strong references to which are made in the book of John. I oftentimes pay keen attention when I realize that a particular story or message is filtered through all of the Gospels, because it seems as if it's, for certain, this is something we ought to pay close attention to. Well, this particular passage is not only recorded in the Gospels, it was prophesied also in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. So as I read this passage, and as you read it after we have left here today, I believe you must begin to understand that perhaps God has a special message in this for us. I hope to only try to open up some of what God has shared with me in this message today. If you read this passage more closely, you will find that in Luke chapter 19, verse 28 to 37, that this passage is filled with evangelism. Some overtones about evangelism are within the context of this passage. There is also within the context of this passage a message of consecration. I will try it this morning to see how well we can play between the two. The evangelism message is very clear. Once you take up the passage, you can't miss it. The go ye of Matthew 28 is right there in verse 30. The going by two is right there. The loosing of the creature is right there. The bringing to Jesus is right there. There is a message of evangelism etched within the context of this passage. And this becomes more significant as you are standing on the borders of an evangelistic thrust to begin next week. So I hope by God's grace that we can share a bit of what that means. Let's begin by looking at the passage more closely. So, Luke chapter 19, you can pick it up at verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage, to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, that he sent two disciples." The sending of two disciples, my brothers and sisters, is the age-old plan that Jesus has been using on earth in terms of his evangelistic effort. We have seemed to have added lots of other new dimensions to our evangelism plans. But the very basic and simple method used by Christ is the sending out of his disciples two by two by two. Time will pass, technology will increase, but the going out by two is a simple method which I will encourage you to pick up and to run with. We are encouraged to know that in sending out of two, that it is always better, we are told, two heads are better than one. There is a comfort to know that you have a brother or a sister standing with you on the mission field of the gospel of Christ. Going out by two is a wonderful activity if you haven't tried it. Get your brother or a sister, husband or your wife, and go out by two. You will find there in this going out a special blessing which you will never receive if you go alone. It's almost the same as saying it's a special blessing when you come into the union of marriage than when you try to push it alone sometimes. There's an added little blessing, something you will never experience or know unless you go by two. So the first lesson that I'm picking from this passage is that the church needs to go out by twos into every part of this vineyard and bring the people in. Now, I've had some experience in going out by two, and I've found lessons about myself there that I would never have found if I had gone by myself. When the words fail and a question is asked and you can't answer, it's as if God, because you're with someone else, provides the answer. And it's almost like a tag team between yourselves and the other person. When you're out of the right words to say, when there is need for a prayer, the other person bears you up. So I'm going to encourage the brethren in here today to go out by twos. If you haven't tried it yet, I beg you, try it. You will find in there a blessing. There's a special blessing, not only in going out by two, but just in going. There is a blessing on the go. And there is not only a blessing, there is a reward on the go as well. I have found that when you go as God had commissioned us to go out into the world, marvelous things and miraculous things happen. You probably have never believed it. When you go, as Jesus says, go into all the world, he does things in you and for you. It could never have been done if you had not gone. So go ye into all the world is my commission to you today. I've gone out before. We were working a small community of about 100 persons. I was doing some basic Bible work there with the brethren as the evangelist spoke. I was very young, but I was sent with a stronger, more mature person. As we went out in our tools to do the Bible work, the community erupted in violence. Very soon, because of the small nature and the fact that everybody was married or was somebody else's cousin or baby father or brother or girlfriend or something, violence broke out in the small community. And very soon, one day as we went into the field, we were trapped between two families. Some marital issues broke out in the very community. And very soon we found ourselves in the middle with one family at the top of the street hurling stones at the family at the bottom. And the one at the bottom hurling stones at the one at the top. We were in the middle. Right in the middle. But I can tell you that not one stone came near us. Stones were going through my legs, under my feet, under my arm, but not one stone touched us. There is a power in the go. We stood there almost amazed as we felt, how could it be that no stone hit us? They were certainly aiming. We were not invisible. We were clearly seen, but not one stone hit or came nigh us. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you have not gone, you will not know of the power and the miracles that God can do on the go. There is a blessing on the go. I remember another time in that very same community, we were on the go, and we found a little boy who had come to the meetings. He had been convicted in his heart that he wanted to give Jesus his heart, but his family said no. And I've never seen a young man so strong in his conviction. He stood up to his family and said to them, you will throw me out. You can leave me in the street, but I've found something better in this life. That opened up my heart. I've never seen the process of conviction so openly revealed in my heart. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, there's a blessing in the go. You will see the coming of a soul to Christ as you have never seen it before. When you experience that, the fact of a young person who you have worked with or studied with come all the way from the clutches of Satan into the pool to die with Jesus and to raise up to walk in the newness of life, it's a blessing that you will never ever experience otherwise you had gone. So go ye into the world. I tell you, there's a message of evangelism here. You see, there are many persons out there who are tied up. This creature in this passage was tied. And there are many persons who are tied and entangled in their lives. As a matter of fact, there are people who are not only tied out there are people who are tied in the church. Tied up. Some persons are suffering from grave addictions. Some persons are still taking a smoke or a draw in the church out there. Some persons want to be freed from their alcohol. Some persons in even the church or in the world also are working themselves to the bone. They are workaholics. They can't break from that shackle. When the stress of life comes, all they can do is to work and work and work. There are many persons who are suffering from misery in their families. They are tied up in their own family houses. They are tied up in their own situations. Many persons are tied up financially. They just can't stop spending and spending and spending. Even what they don't have, they go into debt because they have a habit of spending. Many persons in the world are tied up. I tell you that I've seen young people who are tied to video games, PlayStation 3. I also used to be tied to Nintendo and the Game Boy. Couldn't get any release from it. Every time that you started to play, everything else seemed irrelevant. Homework, schoolwork, family, food, TV, everything was of no value. I just had to get to the next level. I say to you, there are many young people who are tied to even the video games. And I'm going to beg you today, on the authority of God's word, to go by tools and to loose them. That is the message of salvation. People are tied up, but the word of God can loose them. How much easier can it be? You see, Jesus had seen this animal that was tied up. Through his prophetic eyes, he had seen this creature. The creature was tied, and there are two things that we learn when someone or something is tied up. Number one, it's not going anywhere until it is loose. When someone is tied up, he or she is not going anywhere until they have received the victory over that situation. For the person who has alcoholism, he may want to give it up. He may have given it up at the beginning of a new year, but by the second week in the new year, he's back where he started. For the young man or the young woman who is tied to internet pornography or whatever it is, you may have given it up for a little while, but you keep going back. That is the nature of an addiction. That is the nature of the tying process that the devil has over his children. Like a rocking chair, going forward and backward, but not really going anywhere. And your promises are like ropes of sand. You make a resolution, you make a promise to yourself, I will never do this again. I will never cause this shame to come into my home. I don't want anyone to know. I'm going to give it up. And by the next morning, you're back where you started again. And it's tiring. It's hard. You just feel a weight of pressure on your shoulders and you want release. That is the condition of persons who are out there. It may even be the condition of persons in the church. There's a brother in one of the churches that I used to attend who was a great Sabbath school teacher. But the devil had tied him to the bottle and tried as he may to stop drinking. He just couldn't stop in his own strength. He would come and you could see the agony. It caused him to grow very old very quickly because of the weight of what was on his shoulders. He wanted to serve God all the way. But the bottle, he was tied to the bottle. And he needed to be loosed. But Jesus sent his disciples to loose this creature. Jesus is sending his church to let people out there know he is still in the business of loosing sinners from their conditions and setting them free. He has sent us into the world to tell people everywhere he still has the power to break the bonds of sin that are holding people. He still has enough power to break the power of addiction. He still has the power to break up workaholics' problems. He still is able to speak peace into the circumstances of individuals. That's the kind of God I serve. So he sent his disciples to loose these creatures. So as long as you're tired, you're not going anywhere. Your promises are going to fail. The second big truth is that we cannot free ourselves. Try as you may. Struggle as you want to. Go into the bookstores and pick every self-help book you can find. You can't do it by yourself. Everybody's out there telling you, it's within your power to do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can in your heart do it. Well, I'm telling you, no, you can't without Jesus. You will do it for a little while. I've heard persons who have stopped smoking for years, 10 years, 16 years. And in the blink of an eye, they are back where they started. But I've also seen persons in that same community that we worked. There was a man there who had a smoking problem. He said, I will never ever stop smoking. I can't, but I love Jesus. We prayed with him and we said, brother, come. I know someone more powerful than your addiction. I believe in my heart as we pray with him that if you go into the pool, Jesus can take away the taste or the struggle, the addiction to the nicotine that you have. The brother didn't believe, but he said, I'm going to come anyway. He got baptized in the pool. A week after that, I saw him in the town. He does not smoke anymore. You don't understand what I'm saying to you. He gave his all to Jesus, even his problems, what was tying him up, and Jesus set him free. This is the message that I bring to you today. That we cannot free ourselves. We can do it through Jesus. I am not different, or you're not different than the man on the street, you know. But for the sake of Jesus Christ. But for Jesus, I'm no better than the person out there. You ought not to feel any self-sufficiency in yourself. But for Jesus, I would be out there just the same, smoking or drinking or doing some terrible things with my body or with my mind. But for Jesus. And we have this Jesus. And the world needs him. There's an evangelistic message, I tell you, in this passage. If you look at the Mark account of this passage, two additional things are added to the story. In Mark 11 and verse 4, two things are added. Number one, Mark tells us that this creature, this donkey that Jesus loosed, was standing where two paths met. So wonderful. He was standing where two paths met. One path, perhaps, is my way. I'm going to try. It's my independence. I have no option. I'm going to go it alone. The other way is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The donkey was standing where two paths met. On the one hand, there was his way, going down that path, the way you know very well. We have all tried it. But I introduce you to the other way, the better way, the best way, Jesus's way. That is the option we offer to people. The problem is a problem of choice. The problem we have in the world is a problem of choice. The creature stood at a door. An opportunity was there. There's something better beyond just being tied up. But he was standing on the outside where two paths met. You know, that's the condition of many persons who are out there. Opportunities abound. They would never have known how sweet it is to worship and to praise Jesus. Opportunities are just waiting for them, but they are tied up and not going anywhere. Standing along where two paths met, not doing anything with themselves. But Jesus told the disciples to say to the owner, I have need of him. When the owners come, Jesus said to them, I said, why are you loosing this creature? Why are you setting him free? You know, that's the same thing Satan says every time you go out. Why are you trying to set this child of mine free? Why are you trying to loose him and give him opportunity? Why are you trying to do this? And the word you must say is, my Jesus has a need for him. My Jesus has something better. He has a purpose. You're not using him for anything. You're just keeping him tied up and bound up. But my Jesus can take him places. My brothers and sisters, that is the message we need to go. That is the conviction we need to go with. The problem is a problem of our choice. I said to you earlier, the right action of the will, the right action of the will is what makes the difference in our lives. That's what made the difference between Cain and Abel. That's what makes the difference between a Mary and a Martha. It's what makes the difference between someone like Moses, who chose to suffer with the afflictions of the people of God, rather than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. The problem is a problem of choice. And we do not have a full understanding of the right, of the power, of the force, of the will. But this morning, standing here, I humbly submit to you that if we give Jesus our choice, he will take you to places you had never seen before. Our prayer each day should be, Lord, I consecrate myself to you anew today. Baptize me anew with power from on high. Refresh me, Lord. Start all over today again. Today, I give you my everything. I'm afraid to sing some songs in the hymnal, I tell you all the time. A song like I Surrender All. I'm afraid to sing it. How can I sing it if I know I'm holding back something from Jesus? But sometimes we just sing the words. I'm afraid to sing some of these songs because of what they mean, the implications. If I give my all to Jesus, it means everything I have, every decision I must make must be Jesus. When Jesus takes control of the will, he is in control. But if you are still in control of your life or your finances or your family life or anything that you're in control of, then Jesus is not in control. It cannot be half and half or 90 and 10. It must be Jesus 100%. I wonder if you're understanding me today. It must be Jesus totally, fully. It's either you're his fully or you're his not at all. So when you sing, I surrender all, you really do mean all your decisions. But I'm afraid that some of us are still holding some of our decision for ourselves. I tell you, when you give Jesus all, you give him even your possessions. You own nothing. He owns everything. I give you a little example. One place where I worked, I got a company cell phone. And everything that I have that is technology, my username is always GP, God's property. I believe that it's God's. Give it to him. He will use it. He's only entrusted to me for a time. I had committed my cell phone to him, to Jesus. That's as I committed everything. And I tell you that my cell phone can preach. I use my cell phone to put in a little text that says to me, a reminder, remember to pray. I do it at 10, at 12, and at 2 in the workday. Remember to pray for your family. Remember to pray for the church. Remember to pray for the work of God. And I left it in the text in my phone all the time. When I left the job, I left the phone. I didn't remember. Left everything on the phone. 6 months after I left the job, the lady who took over the phone said to me through an email, you have done something marvelous for me. So what have I done? I haven't done anything. She says, every day the cell phone reminds me to pray. And I've developed a praying relationship with Jesus from a cell phone. My heart broke that Jesus can take a cell phone and preach to people. But it will not happen if you keep it and you believe you own it. Give Jesus everything, brothers and sisters. He will need some of our cars to go and pick up people and bring them to him. He will need some of your money. He may need some of your land. Give everything to Jesus. Your whole choice, give it to him. And I tell you, when you give it to Jesus, he will make something wonderful out of it. My brothers and sisters, Satan wants to control your life. 2 Timothy 2 verse 26 says, he thinks he's in control of your will. He wants to keep you in that will. Several theologians refer to the will as a horse that someone has the reins over. So Calvin and many of the early theologians, some of them, contain or believe that the will is like a horse that someone rides going hither, thither, and on. That your will is someone is always in control. So the obvious question is, who is in total control of your life? 2 Timothy 2 verse 26 says, Satan thinks he is in control of your will. But I submit to you this morning, let Jesus take full control of your will. Let him take first place in your life all the time. And he will do something wonderful for you. You know, what are we giving up when we give Jesus everything? What are you giving up? A polluted heart? Some terrible problems that we have that we are holding on to? Some misery? The work life that you have? What are you giving when you give Jesus your all? We're not giving anything that is of our benefit. We're not giving him anything of value. When you give him everything and he gives you, and you take Jesus, you have everything. And he makes a difference in your life. But what do we give him when we give him everything? A polluted heart, a sin-polluted heart, and feelings that are impure, and thoughts that are impure. We're not giving him anything that is for our good. Are we giving up our independence? I mean, what independence do you have anyway when you can't sleep at night? When you can't sleep in your house comfortable because you don't know who's going to break in? You're worried about the financial crisis. What independence is that? There really is no independence. Except it is found in Jesus. That's why I say to you, if you give it to Jesus, you can sleep safe at your bed at night. Because if someone even comes in, it's Jesus' house. So he must take care of it. If they steal the car, they're stealing Jesus' car. So he must have a better plan for you. if they're stealing, I remember Elder Blake lost his vehicle. They stole it from him. And I believe he just took it. And if I believe he used it for the honor and glory of God. And because he used it for the honor and glory of God, God take care of him. He came and he told us he got a better chariot. That's what I'm talking to you about, my brothers and sisters. You may not understand it, but if you give it to Jesus, he is able to make something beautiful out of the ugly. That's what happens when we give Jesus everything. And so this morning, today, I encourage you to give Jesus your all. Give him everything you have. When you give him everything you have, when you give him the total, your choice, your will, he turns it all around for you. I'm going to close this morning with a very simple illustration of what it means to give Jesus your all. There's a person in the scripture who gave Jesus his all. Every time his name is mentioned, the Bible says he served God fully. Every time his name is mentioned, the Bible says he served God fully. When you serve God 100%, he not only loose you from the ties of chocolate gives you, that is around you, but he changes your outlook. He changes your perspective. Because when you make him number one, when you give him your choice, when you give him the power of your decisions, he changes how you see the world. You no longer see the world with your own eyes, you see it with God's eyes. The person I speak of is Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, Caleb came back from spying out the land. And as he came back, the Bible says, this man served God fully. And when everybody else was seeing giants in the land, the Bible said, Caleb said, we are well able to achieve it. What was Caleb doing? He wasn't seeing with any miraculous eyes. He was looking out with God's eyes. Giving God your all changes your outlook on life. Things that seem impossible to overcome. The God eyes that you have, God living within you, God driving and being the total force of your life gives you a different outlook, a positive outlook. You don't have to depend on the naysayers. You don't have to listen to those who are bringing gloom and doom. Jesus changes your outlook for the better. Caleb, the Bible said, served God fully. His outlook was changed. Not only was his outlook changed, his confidence was boosted. In Joshua 14 and verse 4, 8 and 9, the Bible says again, Caleb, the same man, served God wholly, fully. He didn't reserve anything for himself. He gave God his 100%. And what happened? He was 85 years old. We often talk about David and Goliath. David was a young man. At 85, Caleb stood and faced three giants. I think that's a more powerful one than David and Goliath. An 85-year-old man said, God changed his outlook. I am stronger this day than I was 40 years ago. The God who is in me, my God who I serve fully, he says, gives me confidence beyond measure. Give me the mountain with any giants on it. As I am not going in my strength, I'm going in the strength of the Lord. The Bible says of this brother that he conquered that mountain with all three giants. I love this story better than David and Goliath now. Because I shudder to see our 85-year-old man hold his sword forward and say, for the glory of God, and goes on conquering and to conquer, except for God being with him. But that's what the Bible says. That no matter your age, God gives you a confidence. No matter your situation, God boosts your confidence when you give him your all. You see, Caleb means dog. I can imagine his little friends when he's coming to say, watch the dog. Watch him go. Go, dog, go. Can you imagine? I don't know what people call you. Dumb, stupid, foolish, cheap, anything that they call you. It changes your confidence. Little children are in the place. When you give God your all, no teacher can call you dunce. Because you realize that you're not doing your work, your schoolwork in your own strength. It is God who gives you a different outlook on life. So not only will your outlook change, but your confidence will be boosted because you're not going in your own strength. You're going in the strength and power of the Lord. And then finally now, God changes the results. He changes the outlook, the results for the better. He changes the outcome for the better. In the story of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 14, the Bible says, and this brother, this same brother who served God fully, the Bible says of him again, who served God without reserving anything for himself, conquered not only those three great big giants of Anak, but he retired peacefully on the Mount Hebron. Come on, I tell you something, brothers and sisters. God gives you our blessings when you serve him fully, either physical blessings or spiritual blessings. But either way, he's going to bless you when you give him your 100%. Some of the blessings you will get in this life, some you may get in the life to come. But when you serve God fully, you have no regrets. I have made my decision up. Every new year I resolve. And my resolutions are not, Lord, help me to be rich or to be famous or anything. My resolution has always been, Lord, help me to serve you fully. That has always been the resolution. Lord, help me to serve you 100%. Lord, help me to give you my will. Because if I give you my will, I know everything else will fall into place. We do not understand the full nature of the will. I believe that. This week was a very rough week for me. My family has been going through ups and downs. And one of the things that has hurt very badly for me this week was that I have a cousin who is in the hospital, probably very close to death, we're not sure. But he has been exposed to the goodness of God, but he kept back a little bit for himself. He knows what God can do, grew up with us in church, everything, but he still kept back a bit for himself. Hadn't yielded to God 100%. Still had a little smoke of the weed. Still had a little drink here and there. Still smoked along the side, but he understood. But there's a danger in not going to God fully, I tell you. See, now his kidneys are shot, his heart is bad. He's drowning in his own body fluids, almost. About to die, and now he's calling out for help. You didn't give Jesus your full choice. You still head back. And now he's wishing he had given God his all. Now he's wishing he had served God fully to the best of his knowledge in keeping his body whole, in not doing certain things. It was a rough week. But we have within our hands, within our faculty, a very powerful tool, our choice. Why not make Jesus your choice for 2009? He's not only going to set you free from any addictive powers you have. He's not only going to loose you from any shackles that are binding and holding you back. But he's going to open up opportunities for you that you've never seen spiritually and otherwise. He's not only going to open up these doors for you, but like this creature in this passage here, this donkey that was tied up, Jesus took control, sat on him, held the reins that would guide him this way and that, and led him into the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And everybody were throwing palm branches at the feet of this creature that was tied up. But Jesus sat on him in total control. And he rode through, listening to the people, cheering on not the donkey, but Jesus, saying, Hosanna to the King. That's what happens when you give Jesus your full control. When Jesus is in full control of your life, they will sing glory and honor, not to you, the person, but to Jesus for what he's doing in you and through you, because he holds the reins on your life. So this donkey that Jesus rode is a special lesson for me, because it tells me that if I do the same thing, if I make Jesus in control, Jesus will take me places where his glory can be revealed. Perhaps there are people in this church today who you've not given Jesus your full 100. You still not yielded totally to Jesus. Perhaps you're in the church and you're still struggling with some things. But today I'm going to say to you, just say it. Jesus, take control. I want you to make that decision today. Perhaps there are persons here who are not from this church, but you are struggling with your own circumstances. I don't know what that is, but you know what it is. But you want to say today, I'm going to make a decision for Jesus. I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to give him my choices, my decision-making processes. I'm going to make him take over 2009. 2009 is not a year to hold back. It's a year to give Jesus everything. Perhaps there's some persons here like that today. Today I'm offering you Jesus. My friend that sticks closer than a brother. I trust him with my everything. He has shown me everything I can ever see in my lifetime and again and again. This is the Jesus I offer to you today. Perhaps you are here and you want to make that decision. You take a moment, you think about it. Think about what you're giving to Jesus. Think about what it means to give him everything. Think about the power that you have in your hand for good. Everything hinges on the right action of the will. Everything. My brothers and sisters, this Jesus that I give you, he took the cross, place of shame and scorn, and he transformed it into a place of victory. That's the Jesus that I give you today. It's the Jesus who took a bad word cursing disciple and changed him into a power preaching apostle for him. It's the Jesus that I give you today who can take any circumstance you have and turn those ashes into something beautiful. This is the Jesus I offer. And so when we are about to sing that song to close, I want you, if that is your determination, to come to the front, to say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. When they're singing that song and you're listening, when you're reading those words on the screen, if your determination is to give Jesus everything, your life, your all, and the song will tell you the rest, just come to the front. And I know Sister Mara, she prays, will pray that God will break the chains that are holding you back and will give you the victory. He will change your outlook, boost your confidence, and change the outcomes that are in your life. My prayer is that God will be with you in 2009.
Surely the Lord has spoken to us this morning through his young prophet. And as the appeal went out just now, couldn't you hear Jesus' voice saying, give me your choice. Loose that man, loose that woman, for I have need of that person. Please respond, for the Savior's calling to set you free, to use you to his name's honor and glory. Let us now, at the appropriate time, stand and sing the song 330, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Determination. Just come out for the prayer.
Take my voice and let me sing.
There is nothing better to begin the year with than to begin with Jesus, taking full control of your will. The verse says, take my lips and let them be. Are you holding anything back from Jesus? What about your money? What about your silver and gold, your possessions, your resources? Are you still holding some of it back? You know you could give more. You know you could do more. But something just keeps holding you back. Well, this fourth verse is a verse that I'm afraid to sing now. Take my will.
Take my will.
What does that mean? Take all my decision making. That's a hard thing to say. But I encourage you to do it today. Taking my heart means going with Jesus fully, all the way my Savior leads me. Making your heart the royal throne of Jesus. What a wonderful blessing it is. And then the last stanza. take my love. Take my love. Take my everything, God. Whatever you love more than Jesus will inhibit you from giving him 100%. But I want to be ever only all for Jesus. I want him to be in throughout 2009 only all for Jesus. Praise the Lord, my brother and sisters. Praise the Lord.
Is there any among us who has not accepted Christ as his or her personal savior from sin? Anyone who is not baptized and is walking through the aisle, perhaps for the first time? All right. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you that you have spoken to us so clearly again this morning. We are so conscious, Father, of how appropriate that message was, how we withhold from you, all of us, yet we yearn to serve you with all our hearts. And so this morning we come. Gathered here are your people, responding to your call, that you might consecrate us, that you will take our lips, that you will take our will, that you will take us, Father, and make us into the people you want us to be. Take absolute control, O Lord. Take control of our power of choice, the will. Cause us, as we have walked down in faith, as from this day, to be fully and completely surrendered to you. O God of Israel, you know us each of us intimately. You know the hindrances. You know what prevents us. But we claim what you have said. The Master has need of this man and this woman. And so we claim the freedom. You have set us free in the blood of Jesus Christ, and even now we claim it, Lord. The shackles are falling off. We now are free, emancipated, to serve the living God. This we claim, Lord, as we reconsecrate our lives to you. We claim it, Lord. It is a reality. We acknowledge it, and we praise you for what you've done, even now. If there's any in this congregation who has not yet made a decision for you, may your convicting power go forward now to convict that soul. For without you, life means nothing. May many here, Lord, who have not yet made the decision, even now, in this quiet moment, call upon you and surrender to you. Do your work, O Lord. Do your work. Oh, may they be inspired to come to the crusade which will be having soon. But let them choose now the power of conscious, deliberate choice. Let them make that deliberate choice now, that you might do your perfect work. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for this young man whom you have sent to us. Oh, bless him beyond measure. His wife, his household, continue to anoint him. And may he go from strength to strength, for it is obvious he's not going to the right or to the left, but he's going fully, as Caleb did. So may it also be with us. For we ask these mercies as we recommit, my Lord, and commit to for those who have never done so, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.